This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Forever Dog.
Mandela.
The trees royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got, trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop, even if you get the chop, chop, chop.
Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey.
Welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila,
where we give you the weekly recap and rundown of Canada's Drag Race. Who's on top?
And who gets the chop? Let's chop it up.
Let's chop it up.
Okay, so last week, after a teleprompter mini challenge featuring some of our girls like doing a newscaster thing, Lemon and Priyanka won and became team captains for the girl group rap battle challenge. And it was a showdown on the main stage with the original Drag Race song, Sorry Not Sorry. Anyway, Priyanka won, and Anastasia and Tainomi had to lip sync for their lives, and they did it to a Deborah Cox song in front of the guest host, Deborah Cox, and unfortunately, Anastasia sashayed away.
Oh, Anastasia. I liked her.
I did, too, and it sucks that she went home this early in the competition because I was ready to watch her the entire season.
Yeah, with all her fitted clothing, honey, her garments.
All of her fitting garments, yes. And I'm sad because, like, this episode, we have another sewing challenge, and it would have been really cool to see Anastasia, what she would have brought.
Mm-hmm. Well, damn it. Oh, well.
But damn it.
You know, we talked last week, and we're always advocating for you to reach out to us, all you fans out there. If you have any beautiful, wonderful insight that you would like to share about Canada and all the goings on, so we're not sounding like idiots, that would be great, great help, and we greatly appreciate that. In fact, we have something from our inbox. I'll share it. Hello, Latrice and Manila. First of all, thank you for your amazing commentary on our country's greatest accomplishment, that is Drag Race Canada. Besides healthcare and maple syrup, you were asking what Laklimi was. True, I was. And it is a lake, in the city of Hull, Quebec, okay? I went to university in Ottawa, Ontario, our nation's capital, which is on the border of Hull. Hull is where you go have wild adventures. What kind of wild adventures? When you're 18 years of age.
I see.
Uh-huh. As Quebec has a lower drinking age. True that, mm-hmm. They do. Hope mm-hmm. you're having an adequate week. Alex. I love that, Alex.
Oh,
thank
yes,
you for
an
adequate
week.
I love that. That's all we can ask for these days, right?
It's honestly like good is asking too much. Great is out of this league. An adequate week in this day and age, coronavirus and this pandemic, is Hey, it's I've had an adequate week. Thank you very much, Alex. And for the rest of our listeners, you can send your comments and emails to us at latriceandmanila@gmail.com. We would love to read some more of your messages here on air. And thank you. Yeah, if I was in university and I was 18 years old and couldn't drink because I wasn't 21, I would definitely be going to Lac Limi to get myself a little twisted and wasted in my college years, for sure.
Yes, 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 yes. Get it, honey.
So this episode starts out with the girls coming back and they find that there's no message on the mirror from Arnold Starcia.
How about that? How? What kind of move was that, bitch? She pulled stunts, honey. That was sickening. She was like, I have nothing, honey, for you.
Yeah, I understand, because like in that moment there's a lot of emotions going, and then you're like, and then they're like, okay, here's a lipstick, now write some inspirational message on the mirror, and you're just like,
bitch, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, fuck you
bitch, like, and let I'm me going just, home I gotta pack
let me
bag.
Just hold back, let me just not write something on the mirror in case I write something that I don't want to. I don't know. I feel for Anastasia, and but I do think it's funny because Tainomi was like, ooh, girl, that's a little shady.
But it was sickening. I thought it was cute. You know, I live for the shade of it all, honey.
The shade of it all.
But then there's a video message from Rue.
Okay.
Hey, ladies. One queen's trash is another queen's treasure. But some queens really blur the lines. So get ready to serve a look that saves the planet. And remember, the three R's of drag: reduce, reuse, and Regina.
So, just so that we get this, we had a listener, Michael, write us on our email and said that the Rue mail this week, Rue made a frankly terrible non-pun about the three R's of drag: reduce, reuse, and Regina. And Regina is the capital of Saskatchewan, one of the provinces there, and it vaguely rhymes with vagina, so, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Anything that rhymes with vagina is going to be made into a pun on RuPaul's Drag Race, trust and believe.
Trust and believe. But thanks for that insight.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Then there's the mini challenge.
Ooh.
Yeah. Stacey leads the queens and the pit crew in underwear, in this underwear memory matching game. And the pit crew boys, they have to reveal the tiny underwear beneath the tiny underwear. And the queens have to remember which one. It's like memory, you know, we played that as a kid.
Yes, yes. But this one is, like, going to be very easy to remember because, I mean, come on. This is fantastic mini challenge. Way better than, taking pictures
or
dancing ballet. No, this one's fun because you get to, like, sexually objectify men. And I don't know. It might be sexist. We might be looking back on this in a few years and be thinking, like, oh, this is so tasteless. But, oh, my God, did I enjoy this.
I enjoyed it a lot. I mean... All you gotta do is connect the bulges. I mean,
yes. Okay, first of all, I mean, like the girls have been sequestered. They're the only people, really, that they're allowed to, like, talk to or contact or whatever. So to have a whole bunch of hot men walk in is just like, yeah, because they take away your phones, they take away your laptops. You can't watch porn.
You can't even watch porn. You can't even beat your meat in the comfort of your hotel room, girl. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's good.
Down. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's why it's
little...
good to have a good memory, because that might be the only time you get to see sexy bulges in front of you.
It's
so
true.
The girls are, like, imprinting it in the rain so they could beat off between episodes. to be honest, my favorite part, though, is when the sound effects, whoever is in charge of the Foley on this show, like, when they pulled every single time, it went bloop, bloop. When they pulled the shorts down and the dick comes, bloop.
They were right on
that
it.
Was, mm-hmm, mm, that was, mm-hmm, that was a lot of fun. I hope they do this again, but they turn around and we just show their asses next time.
Right.
This could be every mini challenge.
Yeah, Priyanka was pretty thirsty, but Jimbo, honey, bitch, that bitch has a memory of an elephant, of Dumbo. She got Jimbo got the memory of Dumbo, bitch. She can,
well, there were a lot of trunks up in there.
So obviously she wins. She wins, honey.
Mm-hmm. And because she wins, she gets to pick some things, right?
Well, she gets to pick some things, but she gets this culinary experience at the lovely Hilton. Don't forget that. A culinary experience. I don't know exactly what that means, but
you get to have a continental breakfast at the local Hilton by the airport. All you can eat toasted bagels and the little prepackaged things of Philadelphia cream cheese. Oh,
lovely gal. Okay.
So then they're told to divide themselves into groups of three. And the maxi challenge now is waste not, want not. Uh-huh. Canada only recycles 9% of its plastic. So working in teams of three to create iconic fashion lines from the recycled materials, paper, plastic, and metal. See, we're doing some good for the environment in this challenge.
That's, yeah, something. At least somebody's trying.
So Jimbo pairs up with Tainomi and Alona. And then Jimbo also gets to dish out the different recyclable Bins. Materials to each of the groups. Mm-hmm. So Jimbo picks paper, which I think is smart because she said, like, there's a lot of paper. It's easy to cut. It's easy to tape onto things. So I think that would be kind of like my pick as well. I would think.
Smart. Very smart. Right? Yeah, that was a boss move.
Because plastic... You know, it's a little problematic. You can't sew plastic.
You can't.
And you definitely can't sew metal.
It doesn't want to stick to itself unless you melt it some kind of way. You got to heat it. Some kind of heating. That's too much drama. And then metal, what do you got? You know, what do you
got? The soldering iron, girl?
Bitch, no thank you. So paper is the way to go. All day. So the plastic team is Scarlet, Bobo, Kiara, and Rita Baga. And the metal... team is Lemon, Boa, and Priyanka. So I'm, okay. I'm pretty, I like these teams. I do too. Yeah, I like these teams.
I'm noticing that Kiara and Rita Baga, you know, they're the ones from Quebec and they speak Le Franche. And they were in a group together for last week's mini challenge. So I think it's like starting to make sense. Like they're starting to vibe. And I really like that. Dynamic. And then Scarlet Bobo is, I think she's super creative, so I think that they're a really good team.
Absolutely. But they can't now, like, the trick of this whole challenge is that you have to be a fashion house. So they want to see a cohesive line going down the runway, not a bunch of different hodgepodge arts and craft projects thrown together. So...
Yeah, let's talk about these girls' fashion lines and their teamwork together right after this break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
And we're back. So we have three teams and each are their own fashion house. So all of the girls need to create their own looks, but they have to have their looks be a cohesive collection.
Correct.
And the queens will be judged individually. So like the pressure's on to kind of meet all these requirements. Right?
You got to hit all these points. And it needs to look like something. No hodgepodge. We want fashion, darling. Fashion.
We want fashion.
High fashion garbage.
High fashion recyclables.
But Lemon seems very nervous because week one was a design challenge and she was in the bottom. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's been doing pretty well since then. So we don't want to go back to where she was before.
Correct.
For sure. So the pressure's on definitely for Lemon. But there is also a lot of whispering in the workroom. So a lot of these Toronto queens, they like to get in each other's heads. They like to read each other. They like to compete the little dirty. So we got Ilona and Tainomi whispering and talking some shit about Scarlett Bobo while she's on the other side trying to, like, figure out her plastic outfit. What do you think about that?
I love it. I mean, you know, this is what drag is made of right here. The little side chatterboxes, honey, and bitches whispering about each other. Bitch, if they're not talking about you, then you don't matter. So
right? That is true.
So.
If the other queens are talking shit about you, you must be doing something right.
Something
you know?
Right. Or horribly right. wrong, and they're still talking about you.
I don't know. But I really do, because like Scarlett Bobo was like, are you guys talking shit about me? It's like, Tainomi, you've been in the bottom twice. Don't
bitch,
be talking shit about me.
You get your life together, bitch. It's so good.
Oh, that was the tea. So good. And then we have Team Paper, calling themselves the Sherbert Showgirls. So Ilona and Tainomi are coming up with a concept together. They're making a collection, but they're kind of leaving Jimbo to her own accord.
Well,
and Jimbo's like creating her own masterpiece over in the corner, and Tainomi and Ilona are kind of together making their own version.
Yeah, I think Jimbo was already on his own accord from the word Jump Street. Like, it was a team challenge, but he was like, I'm about to do what I do, and good luck to you bitches, because, I'm not going to do that. Whatever that was.
Yeah, I feel like there is a there's not the team dynamic that's supposed to be there in this there was particular team.
No, there was no team dynamic. It was
every
bitch for themselves. Well,
yeah,
pretty much.
But here's the thing that I'm super jealous about. Now, before they are able to finish their craft projects, they get to go on the main stage with Stacy, and she gets to gift them her knowledge of how to walk a runway.
How sickening is that?
That is so sickening. I mean, she is... in a matter of minutes, she basically takes all these queens, and now they're all of a sudden leaning back, swiveling their hips, hands on their hips, attitude, pose, turn, flaunt.
Right.
Girl, she is good.
And you know what? I was like, well, this is a nice change to see a female, like this woman, sit these boys down who think they are so feminine and thinking y'all are really walking and serving, honey. No, let me show you how a model, a top model, takes the runway. And so she gave them very, very good notes. And the improvement, bitch, like I was like, Kiara, oh, bitch, oh, you really can walk.
Yes, yeah, night like, and day.
Night and day. I was like, oh, bitch, well then, what was that? What the hell happened?
Stacy was like patting herself on the back like, damn, I'm good. She got like Bambi, like walking, like
for
just
real.
fresh out of a placenta bag. And she's like, now she's like walking like a professional runway model.
I was gagging. I was like, okay, we'll work.
I thought that was... I was actually a little bit jealous. I was actually taking notes on myself, and I was wishing that we had, like, a runway coach on our seasons of Drag Race.
Oh, bitch, you walks, honey. You walks the runway, Miss Manila girl.
I know, but can you imagine if we had Stacey McKenzie teaching us how to walk, too?
Yeah.
Girl! That was amazing. All of the girls did an amazing job, even if they had to think of hot dogs in order to get there. I love Rita Parrish.
Whatever your motivation is, bitch, I love some food too, bitch. I'll take a hot dog too.
But she's like sauntering up to the hot dog stand. Like, that's how she walks. On Elimination Day, Rita actually shaves her entire head for this challenge. That's how committed she is.
That's commitment. Or does she need to be committed, bitch? I don't know. That's really dedication. She was going in.
I mean, the most I've ever shaved is like my armpits and my legs and my eyebrows, but I've never shaved my head for a look. That makes me nervous, though, because I don't know what my head is going to look like when it has no hair on it. But I guess you can always put a wig on it, right?
Well, that's the other thing of it. Yeah, we do wear wigs. We do wear wigs. Oh, my goodness.
Ilona is talking about when she was out in high school and she was like the only gay kid in her class, and she was saying how she really was able to confide in with the girls of her class, and they would stick up for her, and she kind of like found her family with the girls. And it wasn't until like another gay kid came out that, you know, like there was another thing, but they were actually kind of competitive, which I think I've seen that before.
Yeah, I've seen that. I can identify with the whole like girls like taking up for me because I was the only boy in my color guard at my high school, so of course I got the teased and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so thanks to all those girls who have befriended the gay boys, it's really tough for us. So, you know, when we get into the crowd with the girls, like that's awesome, you know. And thanks for sticking up for us. We need allies like you girls.
We definitely need allies like you.
Mm-hmm. And every girl wants a gay best friend anyway. So, you know, we're here. I like how Ilona was like, I liked the attention. I liked being like the only gay. So when there was another gay, she was like, we kind of competed a little bit.
As gays do. As we do. Scarlett talks about the House of Bobo, started by Jeanette Bobo. Who recently passed away. And that's Scarlett's drag mother. And then she really misses her. And, you know, it's like, I really didn't have a drag mom at first. You know, I have one who I call my drag mother now. But But I really didn't have one. So, like, I understand the importance of having a mentor, someone that you can depend on and help you, show you the ropes and the business and all that kind of stuff, the ins and outs, because it can be shady. And if you're starting out, you know, people can take advantage of you. So it's good to have someone who knows and been there.
Yeah. I also never really had like a drag mother. I had several queens who were like surrogate mothers, and like, you know, like it takes a village, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like Sahara, she was one of my biggest teachers of drag. And then also the Ladies La Femme at the Gay 90s when I first started doing drag. Yeah. They really helped kind of define like my style of drag as well. And I learned about padding and I learned about wigs from them, just from like being backstage. Yeah. I didn't really have that like drag mother. But I did learn from my, you know, from like queens that came before me. So I think it's a really important thing. And it's sad when you lose those people, because they are like your mother. They are like your aunties. They are your family. So yeah. I feel for Scarlett, and I'm happy that she is also, you know, she's got her own drag children that she's, you know, passing the information down and teaching the next generation. So mm-hmm. I give it up for them. And she and Scarlett, Bobo and Rita Baga have a little bit of a connection there, because they're both mothers.
They're both mothers.
Yes. Mothers, the house down.
I had my tubes tied.
I keep trying to have drag babies, but I keep trying, but they never make it full term, unfortunately.
Damn. Well, oh well.
So it is time for the main runway, main stage, and we have our guest host, which is Canadian fashion designer Bedell, who I follow now on Instagram, and I love all of his stuff. He does like a lot of these like harem pants and you know, like parachute-y type like outfits that look like really like flowy, but also like big, but you know, they have a lot of detail in it. So I was excited to see him. I really liked how Bedell is guest hosting. It felt like a 70s variety show the way he did it.
Right? Yeah, he was kind of funny, and it was very variety show-esque.
I was kind of hoping that they'd have like a canned applause, you know, or like bad 70s music when he was up there. Yeah, like it's like week four, and I've finally got into the whole guest host thing.
We got it now.
Right? Yeah, we got it now. Okay. It was rough in the beginning, girl. Everyone, if you listen to our podcast, we were like, we don't know how to think about this. We don't know what to think about this.
And this, by this being a fashion challenge, it was appropriate. Definitely appropriate to have someone who's in the industry, you know, knows how to work with. I'm sure he's worked with some unconventional materials before in his day, you know, mm-hmm. as we all do. But he knew what to look for. So I'm here for it. Mm-hmm.
So here is our runway, but we'll get back to that right after this break.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
We are back on the runway, turning trash into treasure, single-use queens. So we have three distinct fashion houses. Let's go through them. We have Maison Borrega, which is a combination of Bobo,
Kiara, and Rita.
Kiara and Baga. Yeah, and Rita. They have the plastic look, and they go for this post-apocalyptic.
Come on, LaShawn.
LaShawn Beyond. Spray paint, graffiti, you know, no hair, crazy makeup look. What'd you think of this group?
And crickets. Okay, so let me tell you. I had mixed emotions because, like, Rita came down and, like, I loved all the volume and all that, the work that she did in the top portion of her garment, the shoulders and mm-hmm. all that. But then I felt like Kiara let me down majorly. Like, it
really?
it looked like
what a plastic
said.
Tarp?
Yeah, with, like, shit, like, glued on top of it. It was, like, kind of, like, arts and craftsy for my nerves.
Okay.
So I didn't get a lot of intent behind her look. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas Rita, there was intent, and you knew that she was going avant-garde with this whole big volume and shoulders and details and things like that. And there was none of that coming from Kiara. Scarlett Bobo was cool, I think.
I liked Scarlett Bobo. I thought Scarlett Bobo really set the tone for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that because Scarlett Bobo was... hers was really, really well executed and well realized. That I think that when Kiara came out after her, it was a little bit of a step down.
That probably would have happened, yeah.
I think that's kind of what it is. I did like the order that they went in, though, because I feel like Scarlett had, like, you know, like a dark kind of, like, vibe to hers. Kiara came out, hers was, like, more like that blue with the little, like, shark teeth on the end. But I did like Kiara's makeup, and Kiara's walk was good enough to, like, now sell it so she didn't look awkward in this awkward costume.
True that.
And then when Rita Vega came out, it was just kind of like sealed the whole deal where it felt like a full collection. So the fact that Kiara wasn't my favorite, it still kind of fit in with the group.
It did. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I wonder, though, this is my other question. It's like, you know, like when we work in group challenges, we definitely work together. And I'm talking about, like, you, me, and Trinity in particular. Like, you know, everyone worked together to make sure we all looked equally great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
my
yeah.
question is, like, did you guys look at everybody's garment and go, oh, girl, here, let me help you fix this, or let me help you change this, so for the good of the order. You know what I mean? So we as a group, as a house, look cohesive and polished. And so to let one member go down looking less than, that kind of makes me wonder how the teamwork effort went. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, I do think that they, like, they chose these bright colors, all of them. And even though each of them kind of had, like, a little bit of different color story, like, I feel like Scarlett Bobo had, like, hers was more colorful and graffiti. So when Kiara came out, she was more cool, but she also still had the spray paint on it. And then when Rita Vega came out, she was kind of like the fire and the hot.
She was,
so
yeah.
I feel like there was a story that was told, although I don't think that Kiara's was the best. But I think that collectively, as a whole unit, as a team, I think that they were the most successful. And that's why I think that, that's why I liked theirs.
Okay.
And,
well, that's fair
and
enough.
They weren't just, like, putting on a wig. They were, like, trying to do something avant-garde. Like, Rita Vega said that she was a club kid. So I feel like the other two were able to kind of, like, bring that club kid element into their drag, even though it's not necessarily what they usually do.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like there was a team effort, and everyone was putting in their ideas. And, you know, again, like, they were working with fucking recycled plastic. So,
absolutely.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, be like, oh, the, you know, the seam was off or whatever.
Oh, God, no. God, no. You have a theme with that? Good for you.
Yeah, the fact that they can even sew any of that,
I mean,
is, like, tough.
I ain't looking for themes. I'm just, yeah, for real.
So the next up, we have the House of Rust, which is Boa, Priyanka, and Lemon. Boa comes out in this big silvery thing with the big skirt, a shiny diaper.
The strainer titties.
I think that the House of Rust, their order was off.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could see how they all kind of related to each other, but I think that they went backwards in order. I think that if Lemon came out
first, and then
because hers was a little bit more subdued and it had that rust, you know, that rust color. Then Priyanka came out, and you know, she served that, then Boa kind of with the wedding dress finale. Yeah. I think that would have been because Boa's was so big and grand that like when the other two came out, they seemed more, you know, like ready to wear silhouettes, like they just like a pencil skirt or just kind of like a whatever. But then again, they also had the hardest material to work with.
Right.
You know, and it kind of showed. And then we have Maison Pepierre with Ilana, Tainomi, and Jimbo. Silence.
Ooh. Molly, you in danger, girl. Because, like, when this first... I was like, is it a Trojan piñata or a, like... I didn't know where they were going with this. It was very paper mache.
It was very piñata. It was very piñata. I think what happened with them is that they just had really bright colored paper. And so when they kind of put the looks together, it just read very like young and a little party. Bit like craft. City. Yeah, and like construction paper and a little bit of, they had a theme, and I think that it was just kind of, you know, it was very costumey, which can work sometimes, but I feel like the sophistication wasn't there, I think, with the color palette and the material and the look and the theme, you know, like, oh, a queen and her knights, oh, in bright color pastels. and like piñata, yeah.
Yeah, that was, and then there was nothing cohesive to me about it. I mean, other than the fact that they looked like two piñatas, and then like,
and then a massive Jimbo, piñata,
and then here comes Jimbo's the float. I mean, I don't know. It was a lot going on and not enough in the right directions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They had good ideas, but the execution, not very good looking.
Yeah, it came off a little, it didn't come off high-end fashion. And I think that, you know, with Stacy teaching them how to walk a runway and, you know, the emphasis with this whole, like, collection and, you know, house of fashion, I think that it could have worked, but it didn't in this particular situation.
So, on the runway, Team Plastic is the winning team.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. And Rita Baga is a solo winner. She wins $5,000 shopping spree at Fabricland. And she has two wins tucked under her belt. So she's the first queen to do that. So good on her.
I was not expecting Rita Baga to take this one. But I do understand. I mean, she was fully committed. She, like, gave you that... She first of all, she shaved her head, so there's that commitment. She did a fantastic makeup. She gave you Club Kid, which is in her wheelhouse. And then, you know, she also was able to inspire her group to kind of whatever. And then she was, like, the ball gown finale of her collection. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I can see if, you know, they're taking the winner out of the winning group, then definitely she is definitely that person. I really was loving Priyanka and everything she was serving. I was here for that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So she was my winner if it was just without
the groups.
Yeah, the groups.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic, and I thought that she looked like Iman when she turned that corner.
Oh my goodness.
Boa, she got the look, she got the critique of, okay, we get the gimmicks, but can we see you just serve it like a model on the runway without having to rely on this gimmicks? I mean, you kind of said this last week.
Thank you. And now
the judges are like, Yeah. The judges are like, okay, when we ask you to do a serious thing, can you just be serious for once?
For once. For once.
Yeah.
So, already, all yeah. All right.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that next week she will, since she's not in the bottom, she will hopefully take that into account. So we can see, like, the high end, you know, serious side of BoA.
Yeah.
O'Har. But now we have our bottom, or our real bottom group here. We have Jimbo, Ilona, and Tainomi. This is like heart-wrenching for me,
it's
especially because like
heart-wrenching
for Tainomi to be in the bottom again. I feel really bad for her.
It's a devastating blow to your, I don't want to say your ego, but it's just everything that you built yourself up to be is being questioned right now. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm giving you me, and it's not enough. And every time that I say I'm not going to be in the bottom, I'm in the bottom. So it's like, if it, like, it starts weighing on you. And I know how she feels, because she, you know, she's a legend in her own right and her community, and everyone knows who she is. She was the girl to beat coming into this competition, according to her peers. Her peers who are right there with her. And so to see her in this very vulnerable situation is very heart-wrenching. And I feel for her. My heart goes out for her. But it's like, once you're in your head, it's a dark, dark hole. And it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to get out of it. So
she broke down on the runway. And like, you could tell, like, everyone was just like, everyone was in pain watching this, because like, because all of the other competitors looks up to her, and to see your hero, one of your heroes, struggling, it's hard. And like, all the girls are actually like, they're like, even as they're as her competition, they're all rooting for her, and the judges are rooting for her, and like, it's really tough. And I know we have high expectations because of this. And she's not getting there, and it's really, really weighing down on her, and she's having a hard time.
Well,
although I thought she walked well. She wore that outfit really well. I know it's not like the best outfit up there, but it was a completely thought through outfit. It was a little costumey, so that's where she kind of failed. And I feel like because her look was so close to Ilona, like, whatever failed with Ilona's filled with hers as well, you know? Yeah. So.
But I do feel like it was the best her hair and makeup has looked throughout the competition. I was really in love with her face and her hair. And I will say this to Tainomi, if you're listening, girl, you may not be good at Drag Race, but you are damn good at drag, honey. So it does not diminish your star and your shine. Because we can't all be good at everything. And so it's okay not to be good at Drag Race. I say, I'm not good at Drag Race, but I'm good at real life. Bitch, mm-hmm. How about that? And that's what really counts, is your mark and what you do outside and after the show, honey. So don't ever be, depressed.
Yeah, don't let that get you down. Like, yeah, exactly. Like the judges said, like, she's an amazing performer. She's an amazing drag queen. It's just
and
she's been doing it for such a long time without having to do this like competitive side.
Because there was nobody to compete with her. She was like, "This is no competition, darling. I'm doing this." So like, that's how you build yourself up. And so I completely identify with her and understand the legacy that she's building. And just because you're not good at Drag Race does not mean that you're not good at drag. There are a lot of girls who are good at Drag Race and horrible at drag. So don't even let it, honey, look at the winner circle. Look at the winner circle, honey. I'm just saying.
Damn.
Yeah, I said it.
Damn, she said it. Sips our wine. Yeah, and this is okay. I've loved Jimbo since day one, but I'm starting to see a shift in Jimbo, where she came in this like goofy, wacky part. Now I feel like she's really focusing on and going hard in on this competition.
I think
because she was like, I want these girls to underestimate me. But she said she wants to prove to everyone that she is a force to be reckoned with. And I think that in this challenge, because it was a group challenge, a team challenge, that she played it poorly by only working with herself and only concentrating on herself. And I feel like if she came up with this amazing idea for this outfit, bitch, she could have thrown some of them pom-poms over to her teammates to ensure that it her goes, team was going to go together.
It goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, the paper team or the plastic team. It's about, you know, teamwork. And are you really, like, helping these other, your other teammates? Or are you just kind of, like, working on your own and, like, letting them go down with their, with the ship? And so I didn't see sportsmanlike conduct coming from Jimbo this week, which was a little disappointing. But at the same time, the bitch has got her eye on the prize. So I see.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, yeah, because Jimbo has been doing very well. She's proving herself as a strong competitor in this competition. And, you know, if they're going to be judging you individually, even though you are on teams, definitely she's like, well, I mean, well, I think the judges will know what I can do. So let me just let these other two take the fall for me. I don't know. I think it's a little... It's definitely a strategy. I just, as a viewer, I would have loved to see her, you know, sharing some of her unique ideas with her teammates, because I think that that's what's really cool when you collaborate with people. Like, you all can bring your strongest part forward and let other people cover up, you know, some of your, the bad things that you aren't able to do. And I think that this is what happened in this group. And girl, it was tough. So we have the girls are excused while the judges deliberate. And we get a little untucked moment.
Get a little untucked in the workroom.
It is cold up in Canada.
It's cold up in Canada. I forget, like, when it was, like, all bundled up, I was like, why y'all so cold? But, bitch, I've been in Canada in the winter, honey, and you do not want that 25 below. I was like, below what, bitch? Are you serious right now? But yeah, so they were bundled up, honey, because they were cold, honey. They were like not feeling this untucked, honey. They were like, bitch, give me a blanket.
I mean, these girls are wearing like cold metal, you know? They're
right.
I can't imagine plastic. Sitting in plastic. So I can't imagine it being comfortable. Paper cuts everywhere while you're sitting there. But Alona and Jimbo, they get into it, girl. Because Jimbo's snapping at Alona because Alona is just, you know, she's vocalizing her feelings.
She is.
And Jimbo don't want to hear it.
Well, it's because she's, like, really dominating the room with her meltdown, basically. And telling everybody to shut the fuck up. It's like, well, no, bitch, you shut the fuck up. Why you get to be the voice of the room? Why we got to listen to your raggedy ass talk about how you about to go home and have to lip sync for your life? I love to see the backbone happen where it was like, oh, no, we're going to go tit for tat for this one.
Yeah. I mean, and then and Alona just wouldn't give up. She just kept inserting her feelings in there, because everyone else is focused on, you know, their hero Tainomi and what she's going through right now. And I think, and I was as a viewer, I'm like, no, I'm more concerned about Tainomi, because I watched her in the last two episodes be in the bottom. And so, like, this, now that she's like possibly lip syncing for her life again, like, this is devastating. Yeah. And to watch everyone seeing their hero fallen, it's, like, devastating, and everyone's trying to, like, get that little sisterly moment to, like, uplift her before she has to go into battle, and Alona is just not having it. She's just like, I spent so much money! I wanted to represent! I had all these plans! Girl, y'all, every single person, when they go to the show, they have their plans, they have their costumes, they got their wigs and their shoes and their rhinestones and the jewelry and their makeups. No one's expecting to have to deal with putting garbage on.
And bitch, I mean, I completely understand, like, you want to wear the shit you bought. But have you not watched Drag Race? And I'm so glad. Like, let me tell you something about why I'm so in love with Canada's Drag Race, because they are giving me the roots and backbone of what Drag Race was built upon, which is creative challenges where we had to sew and make shit and create shit. And it was team efforts and group challenges. And you were just like, but you had to do this shit because, you know, and to get to the top, and then you can stand alone and be by yourself. But for the fact that she was like, I wanted to wear the stuff that I bought. I don't want to wear this trash. Well, girl, that's how we first started, honey. We started Dumpster Diving season one. Honey, they were dumpster diving. It was Gone with the Window. Window treatment or some shit like
that? Yes, girl. Season three was like challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge of making shit. I understand why everyone's upset. But, like, girl, everyone's wearing trash. Get over it.
We're all here doing the same shit.
So our bottom two is Tainomi and Ilona.
The lip sync girlfriend by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, Ilona is like, I can't do this. I won't do this. I refuse. Brooklyn Heights is like, girl, you're in this competition. I know your friends, but this is what you signed up for. Please perform, because we can't have any, like, foolishness.
How is the Tainomi, the girl who's the most, you know, wounded, consoling her ass? Talk about go ahead, perform, girl, perform, do this. Like, there's no question, girl. This is your moment to show why you should still be in this competition. Friend or no friend, somebody gotta go. And if it comes between me or you, then we can be friends after this.
I think it goes to show just how much everyone really respects and loves Tainomi, because Ilona does she goes all out. Like, the second the song started, it was as if, like, she had never done this whole, like, Canadian sorry not sorry, like, oh, I can't possibly hey you I'm not
Okay. I bet she turned it. She turned it right out. Yeah.
She turned it. Yeah. I thought this was my favorite lip sync so far.
Well, because it's high energy. It was some energy going on. Yeah, that's what it was on. Yeah. You got some energy going on.
I actually this is my favorite performance of Tainomi. I actually feel like she really went in all it was her performance, you know, it started out slow and it just crescendoed and crescendoed. And before you know it, she was doing all the fierce dance moves and whatever.
Yes.
While I noticed that Ilona was starting to get a little tired towards the end of the song. Like, Ilona came out hard in the beginning. And then kind of wore herself out. Uh-huh. So then Tainomi came in at the end and she was just going in. The last dance, honey.
That's it. But ultimately, Ilona wins the lip sync and Tainomi is sent home. But we do love Tainomi. And girl, your legacy will continue, honey. Keep on building your empire, honey. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the last we've seen of Tainomi. I mean, she's been in this game for such a long time. So she's already light years ahead of the rest of the girls, especially when it comes to, like, after this competition, because the real competition is the real world.
And, but wait, does she have a thing on iTunes?
She better. Each week we are going to highlight our tops and our chops of the week, our favorite and, you know, least favorite moments of the episode. Okay, so a lot happened in this episode, so let's talk about our tops and our chops.
Okay. I definitely have some top.
What's one of your favorite top moments of this week?
I have several, but my top moment, I absolutely love Stacey coaching Priyanka. Like, watching Priyanka just, like, slinky ink into that runway model diva was so sickening. And I might add that Priyanka also wins for me best freaking confessionals. Like, she has the best confessionals. Yeah.
I really do love watching Priyanka's journey, and to see her kind of like awkward, goofy side kind of become so more refined and classy. Yeah. It was lovely, and she's now got another tool in her belt, so she could do fierce in this competition.
Yeah. What did you heard?
My top moment of this episode was the mini challenge with all the underwear. Girl, I could have watched an entire episode of this. I hope they do this mini challenge every episode from now on. Girl, it was beautiful watching these handsome Canadian men, you know, just dropping their drawers. Bloop, bloop. Girl, I would have just spent my entire time fucking up just so that I could get all the boys to just take their underwear off, you know? Like, you know, you already know my feelings about winning a mini challenge. I would have just thrown it and just been like, can you just, ooh, I like that. Ooh, can you do that? Can you do it again?
Do it again, yeah.
Yeah, like when Lemon was like, can I pick number 7 again?
Oh, I love it.
That was hot for sure. And I love watching the girls' reactions, because you know they're thirsty, you know.
Thirsty hoes. They are looking for a song, honey. like, you know, they need that spank bank, honey.
And Stacey McKenzie was so excited to be, she was all like playing dumb in the beginning, but you know, she was so excited to like show off all these.
Oh, she surely was. I know she was. I was living.
But not every episode is full of amazing moments. We have some moments that we would like to chop. Girl, what were you thinking in this episode?
You know what? I have a pet peeve about certain tones in which you use the word girl.
Oh, really?
I do. Like, when me and my now husband started dating, like, when we started, like, getting to know each other and we knew we were going, I told him, I'm going to need you not to call me girl. Like, you're not going to call me girl and think we're going to, like, get busy. Like, that ain't it. And then there's the other tone of girl of, like, girl, like, girl, you should know how to do that, girl, and girl. And that tone came from our judge, Mr. Chapman, honey. Mr. I was like, you don't get to say girl like that. You don't get to, because I'm not your girl. Like, I'm not your girl, first of all.
And
so, like, there's something about the tone in which you say girl that is like, that's offensive.
Yeah.
We're not that chummy buddy. Like, you don't get to call me girl.
Especially like when you're wearing, like when you're male presenting.
When you're male presenting girl. and you're calling me girl, like it does not resonate with me. It could be just me. I'm old and I'm stuck in my ways. And if you don't agree with it, you cannot agree with it. But that's how I feel. Don't call me girl, bitch. Okay, call me bitch before you call me girl. I'll answer to
okay,
bitch. Call me bitch.
Or at least be wearing a wig when you call me girl.
Yeah.
All right, I could see that. I could see that.
It's petty. Yeah. It's petty.
It's petty. It's a small detail, but it does.
But it matters.
Yeah,
so.
I hear you. My moment that I could have probably done without it, I could have given the chop to in this. And I do this because I have really high expectations for this queens, but I was not feeling Jimbo's look from the neck up with the raggedy white wig, the white contacts, the white makeup that, you know, didn't go to the arms.
Right.
I thought that was a choppable moment. The rest of the outfit was fantastic. So this part, you know, the face, you know, like all the attention was like left from here, you know, from the neck up. So that was like a moment that, I think queens need to realize when you paint your face a different color than the rest of your skin, like it's a commitment. That's a lot of makeup that you have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Either go full or not at all, and so
yeah.
That didn't fare well with the judges either. Like
anyway, so I think that I know she was trying to go for this like, you know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, powdered look, but it wasn't giving the refinement that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Hopefully Jimbo doesn't make that mistake again.
No.
Because I'm rooting for her.
Me too. And I feel like, you know, she shows that she can take direction very well. You know, she showed that on the, you know, in the runway lessons, she showed that she can take direction. So hopefully she'll take a note. And but her reasoning is because of she ran out of time. So
I mean, it's a
time management. It's a reason.
Time management. Yeah.
Time management.
Yeah. But Jeffrey was like, girl, we all got the same amount of time.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You don't get to say it like that to me.
Oh, she's triggered. She's triggered.
No, I'm so triggered. Like that part. That's exactly what I'm saying. But anyway,
we want to hear from our listeners what you guys think your top moment from this episode is, and what moment you would like to chop. So you could email us at latricemanila@gmail.com, and we would love to hear all of your comments, and maybe we'll even read your comments on our next episode of our podcast.
So thanks so much for listening to The Chop. We have a new episode every Monday.
Every Monday, tune in. And you can follow us at Latrice Royale and at Manila Luzon.
We'll see you next week to find out
who gets the chop. Chop, 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 chop,
chop. The Chop is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Creative Canada, or any of their subsidiaries.
It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only.
Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media.
Ma.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Brett Boehm.
Joe Cilio.
And Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.